Just a note about this wonderful passage from Paul. The letter to the Philippians was written when Paul was in jail and fully expecting to be executed. And so this marvelous language, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, throw away everything, press on to the future that God calls him to. It's wonderful stuff. But I'd like to say just a little bit about this passage that we have for the Gospel. This is not in the Gospel of John, this passage. It's a wonderful story. The oldest manuscripts don't have it, and it doesn't appear for a long time. And nobody knows for sure where it was. It could have come from a Lucan tradition. It certainly sounds like Luke, called the Gospel of the Great Forgivenesses. But I bring this up only just to show how fluid this stuff was. You know, it was not all written in stone. And people could recognize something that was authentically Jesus well beyond the writing of the Gospel itself. You can take this astonishing episode and from a whole bunch of angles, but I'd like to suggest one particular one today, which seems to me goes to the heart of the Gospel and the heart of the Christian life too, and that's the question of power. Power. What is power? Power is the capacity to affect the world, to influence the course of things. And here we have two absolutely contrasted visions of power. Jesus' vision of power and the Pharisees' vision of power. What is going on with the Pharisees? What are they doing? They're standing in some kind of superior position to this woman with a view to her destruction, of course. That's real power. That's the ultimate form of influencing the world. Huh? Get rid of anybody else that you don't like. This is obviously the most dramatic form of power, but I think that we can look at every relationship. Psychiatrist Adler made this point that all of life was a power game. Every human relationship deals with a distribution of power. And power understood, I think, in this way, power to basically oppress the other, to keep the other at bay, to be in control, to be able to manage things. In other words, it's a totally self-engrossed view of power. And I recognize myself in that, and not just myself, but I recognize the institutions in which I work, King's College, Brescia College, even here at Huron a little bit, the university, the Bank of Montreal, the Canadian government, the American government. I can identify that form of power in all of these dimensions of my life, as well as my own personal relationship with my kids, for example. So is that to make the world manageable for me? That's the vision of power that's expressed here when these men want to overpower this woman. And on the other hand, there's Jesus' form of power, which has what? Not to overpower, but to enable. To empower, if you will, the other. To restore to the other the capacity to do something that means something in the world. You give the other person room. Or again, as one great Protestant theologian put it, they figured that Jesus was divine because, like God, Jesus let people be. Let me be. Let me have my own reality. Let me act in the world. Benignly. So So again, we're coming near the end of Lent. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, and so what can we do with this? I've been suggesting all through Lent for myself and for you that Lent is a time to come to greater self-awareness of who I am and how I am in the world. Let me know myself, let me know you, the great Augustine prayed. So I think these last couple of weeks, where we're going to see power exercised in the career of Jesus, both his power and the power of the Roman Empire and some of his Jewish enemies, it's an opportunity again for us to see where we are, how we measure up, how we stand in the world vis-a-vis others, all others, and the institutions in which we live.